message is about nothing, but the mind can't leave it alone. It has to make it something. As soon as you try to turn nothing into something, you lose the quality of nothing. Yeah? And every one of us has had a lot of somethings already. We keep acquiring more somethings, more somethings, more somethings, and we very rarely try nothing. Yeah? We're always trying to figure something out, get a new plan, turbocharge Buddhism, whatever. Yeah? But we never just sit with nothing, and yet nothing has a lot in it. Yeah? So I'd like to first say that there is a solution to the situation that we're in. And the solution is really revealed by the solution, not the problem. So you know the problem by the solution. In other words, when something, it's sort of like if you didn't know what you were suffering from and you had a rash but you didn't know what it was, and so you'd buy like 10 ointments and you'd try an ointment out. Yeah? And then as soon as you found one that worked, you would just read the ointment bottle, and then you knew what you suffered from, psoriasis. Because of when the psoriasis starts becoming absent, you know it. Yeah, you don't know it by its presence; you know it by its absence. So the problem can never know the problem, but the solution knows the problem very well. Yeah. So when the solution is entertained, it reveals itself by the receding of the problem. So when the problem recedes, you know you're onto something. I don't mean temporally or conditionally or circumstantially, it recedes radically. Yeah? And in so, in the solution is how the problem is revealed. Yeah? And there is a solution. Yeah? And that solution is just possibly could be you're not what your thought system takes you to be. Yeah? And if there wasn't a devotion to the thought system, you may be open up to new information and new possibilities. But most of us are devoted to the thought system of self-centeredness. We're taking ourselves to be the center of the system, a self, a long-lasting, independent, separate entity, separate from everything else. So that immediately blocks us off to the ability to learn from others because we're thinking we're different. Yeah? And many people come into AA, at least I did, and I sat in a very deep sense of terminal uniqueness, and I had no idea that I felt terminally unique, but I was oozing it all day, and I could not believe anyone could understand me. That's how uniquely different I was. I couldn't believe that anyone would think the way I thought, or feel the way I feel, or do what I did. And yet I came into AA, and after a few months of listening to us, I could only come to two conclusions. Either these people got my thoughts and my feelings and my reactions to life, or they're not mine. Yeah? And I'll tell you, the solution is not mine. Yeah? It's when the my gets broken away from money, from relationships, from body, from health. When the my drops off and it's held as health and money and relationships and sex instead of my money, my health, my relationships and sex, that's when a relief floods in. And by the relief flooding in, you know the problem. It's the claiming of everything, yeah? The whole system of self-centeredness, its main movement is the claim. So instead of just seeing thoughts, which is what's happening, it believes that it's the thinker of the thoughts, or that the thoughts are about it, yes? That is a huge leap. The actual conscious contact that occurs in thoughts is mind is seeing thoughts like the eye would see a bird, yes? That's what's happening. There's just seeing thoughts. But if there's, when the seeing of thoughts is claimed by the selfing, by the self-centeredness, then it becomes I'm seeing the thoughts, yeah? Somehow a noun gets inserted into the activity, and now the activity is either being done by you or happening to you, yes? You're on either end of the stick. You're either doing it or you're getting done to by it. Yeah? As soon as that occurs, what's forgotten is conscious contact. And that's the living quality of being here, is consciousness in contact. That's the living quality. That's totally forgotten. And in a narration that's based on, because everything has to be based on the living quality, without conscious contact, there would be no life to have a narration over. There would be no noting of anything. There'd be no you that ever did anything or no you that should have not done something. None of that would be possible without conscious contact. Yet it's the most forgotten aspect of life. Yeah? we're, in most cases, we're living pretty much totally unaware of the conscious contact and hyper-aware of who or what's in contact and what they're in contact with. Yeah, that hyper-awareness of who and what that's in contact, Paul, and what it's in contact with produces unconsciousness. You live unconscious to the basic fact of conscious contact. You're not feeling it. There's not a sense of the electricity of being alive. Yeah? There's a narration of how it once was and how you feel it's going to be. But it's very, very rarely pinpointing now. Because this now is branded with conscious contact. The mental now, most of us are in, is just a depository for there and then. Yeah? What we're calling here is not here. Up in the mental realm. The here up here is there and then. Tons of past old ideas, right? Like tinting everything that's seen and then incredible amount of speculation of what it's going to mean to me in the future. Yeah? So the now that people are wanting to get out of is the mental now. Yeah? I really believe most addiction is really a solution to the primary addiction, which is addiction to self. Yeah? The mind being addicted to this activity of being a self produces a lot of irritable restlessness and discontent, and so it seeks relief from the symptoms, but very rarely does it see the cause, because the cause is rooted in identification. And when you're identified, you don't know you're identified. You do not know you're identified, no matter how much you study it. You only know the identification when it's been relieved. You only know the problem by the solution. When there is a pause or a moment of grace or maybe a stabilized period of time, when you are quote-unquote out of self, then you know the problem is in self, being identified as self. You don't know it as self. Self cannot get out of self. That's why it says in the book, self-knowledge avails us nothing. No matter how much knowledge you acquire, if it's claimed by the self-centered system, it neuters any knowledge. Yeah? It's never going to lead to freedom from self. Self can't get out of self. That's the greatest part of the solution. So you stop trying to get out of. What I find is people are trying to get out of, they're trying to get into what they can't be out of. People are trying to get into the moment, but you actually can't be out of the moment. I mean, without you, there ain't no moment, in a sense. You and the moment are synonymous. Yeah, life isn't happening to you. You're an aspect of life happening, yes? That's this action figure. So this whole desire to get into the moment really just reinforces the belief, which is a wild impossibility, that you could be out of the moment. Yeah? And then on the other side, people are trying to get out of self because they have the belief that they are in self. Yeah? If you believe you're in self and you're trying to get out of self, the getting out of self is another form of being in self. Yeah? The solution is timeless. It doesn't have any time. It doesn't take a practice or an application. It's timeless. It's a timeless event that appears in some of our lives. Some of his examples are a pause, but the solution is timeless. Doing more of it doesn't produce it. Doing less of it doesn't diminish it. It's always available at all time because it's not of time. Yeah? It's a timeless solution. And therefore, the timeless solution is, it's not like a hope you will be okay or a mythical idea you once were okay. There's a sense of okayness now. Not in the mental now, in this now, in the manifest now. Yeah? The conscious contact is the anchor to the manifest now, because the conscious contact is only happening in the manifest now. There's no conscious contact in the mental now. Yeah? All you're doing is having thoughts. Only one aspect is occurring, seeing of thoughts. You're not feeling, sensing, tasting, and touching. You're re-feeling the past. Yeah? You're not feeling it. You're redoing everything. Yeah? So in this mental realm, the now is not the now. And that's what you're trying to escape from. But where you'd like to escape to is the now. Right where you are, right where you think the problem is that's motivating you to get as far away from here as possible, that's the solution, the here that your mental head wants to get out of. Yeah. This is the solution. This is where you find the presence. You don't find it in the past or a future. It's the presence. It's a timeless event that scans over every moment of time. And no, there's no moment in time you can escape the timelessness. The timelessness is infused in every moment of time. So no matter what time it is or where it is, you're right where the solution lies. But not as you. And it's not for you. If the you tries to get it, it makes it something. As soon as it makes it something, that's not the message. Yeah? All right? Then it tries to go the back door and make it a subtle something. That's not the message. Then it goes and tries to learn about a sublime something. It's still not the message. It's nothing. It's nothing. You can't, you and I can't get our grubby mental hands on it. Yeah? Every time you try to pick it up, it squirts out the hands. You cannot embrace it. You cannot get closer to it. You can't get far away from it. All of these are mental impossibilities that the mind's entertaining. Yeah? If you're not that, which causes the attention and interest to be wedded to all this activity of mind, if you're not the center that is the gravitational pull of all this baloney rolling around all day, if you're not that center, all those orbits break. And what happens is all this baloney moves out and you sense the space. The space of what's going on. The presence. The presence is of no thing. We're not feeling a presence of a thing right now. What you sense is a presence of no thing. And that's what you get a hit by. The resonation of the message is the sense of no thing as you picks up the sense of no thing as space. And there's an aha. It's when the thing rises and claims it. Oh, I felt the presence at that meeting. I'll go to another meeting, and I'll pick up all the books, and I'll sign up for the next retreat. That's not the message. At least in this view, from here. This message is like a catalyst. It's like you're pulled over to the side, your car's not running. We take off the air filter, and you drop a couple of drops of gas in the carburetor. You have an ignition key. The ability of the car is to drive. You turn it and it starts, yes? You don't keep pouring gas in the carburetor. You flood it. It's a catalyst. That's what this invitation is. You have a way of life already, a very sound, principled way of life called recovery. All you may need is a little illumination about it, yes? Maybe if you saw or it could entertain the possibility that maybe the root of the problem is identification as self instead of obsession with self, yeah? Because when it's held as obsession with self, you may be in the contract of self obsessing with self, yeah? And in that situation, self is never getting out of that situation. Self can't get out of self. But if it's identification as self, then when you see the obsession with self, you see it as a mental activity. It's not you. It's not being done to you, nor is it being you're not doing it. Yeah? And what happens? It's miraculous. There's a loss of interest in it. Your interest and attention gets unwedded to this incredible dead carcass of a story about you. And now it starts attending and being interested into liveness, things that are actually happening. Yeah? Not what you think they should be happening or what they want, but actually reading the tea leaves as they are, seeing blue is blue and red is red and pink is pink. Yes? And the verification is in your own gut. There's like an unspoken yes. It's like an aha. And you're onto something. Then entertain it. Yeah? Let it in. If it hasn't stabilized yet, accept this view. Yeah? Apply it to the overall view of AA. Put it in there. It may bring more light to the program. Yes? But at one point or another, you're going to have a lot of free samples where the view will turn, not turn into, but there will be a flip into vision. Yeah? You'll start seeing from the solution. Yeah? That's the freedom. You'll see from the solution. The understanding is to help that, but then once the seeing occurs, the understanding is totally demoted. It's not raised up as a way of life. You see, it was just to facilitate a new way of seeing. Now that the seeing is in place, you don't need those glasses in a way. Yeah? The glasses are only there to correct the distortion of alcoholism. Once the glasses get correct that distortion, you can take both of them off. And now you're like a free-range alcoholic. You're actually free. Yeah? Radically free. Not free because you're happy today and then you're not free when you're unhappy tomorrow. There's not you that's happy or unhappy. You're neither of this flux of tide going in and out all day. All this change, yes, no, high, low, close and far. You're none of it. You're an unmovable sense of presence. No matter where you are, you're in the center of it. No matter what time it is, you're there. And it never changes. That fact never changes. It never becomes absent, the presence. Never. Never. It's always available at all times. So therefore, it to me, if you read the big book, that third step is like that two-pronged part of the third step. And someone just told me about this guy wrote a book. I just liked the first thing he said, quit playing God. The aspect of playing God, to me, is the activity of the disease after you stop drinking and using and before you stop drinking and using. Yes? What was really in place was playing God or managing. Yeah? And for me, one of my first forms of management to handle alcoholism was drinking. That's what my mind came up with. Yeah? So the action of playing God, it says it very clearly after like three pages. It describes the fatality and the futility of any life run on self, and self is what has defeated us and all this, yeah? Then it says, all right, the how and why of the whole program, yeah, which is a pretty big statement, is first, quit playing God. Why? It doesn't work. And then it goes next in this drama of life, God's going to be director and we're going to be his servants or whatever, some kind of the position of humility, yeah, with this power greater than us. But the first is quit playing God. To jump right to the next without seeing the first, what would be making the decision to turn one's will and life over? What aspect of quote-unquote you would be claiming to be the one who made that decision? I would say it would be the product of the system called self-centeredness. Selfing would be making the decision to turn its will in life, which it's not its will in life anyway, to turn its will in life over to this care of this higher power, but that power would be weaker than it. It would be the bigger God in any situation. Yeah? When push comes to shove, what the mind would be relying on would not be that God of the self's making, but on self that made that God. Yes? Even if it looked like you were relying on that God, it's a making of this God self. So if it's not jumped over and you go to the first and you just start questioning, all right, what the hell's playing God? Yeah. Now, maybe the initial feeling would be, I want to stop playing God, which is playing God also. But if I'm not that which plays God, that's the thing. When I'm not that that plays God, what gets removed from that selfing, my interest and attention, the God juice, basically. So I stop giving over freely because I've already surrendered my God juice to self a long time ago. Yeah, I stop giving it over to that so that without that God juice, it can't play God. It's not God. It plays God with God's juice. And where is the God juice coming from? I would say where you and I are sitting. We give it over to that selfing. We believe it. We're devotees to the thought system. How could such a strong reaction be produced by thinking about what's not happening? Only by faith. Only by a strong faith in those thoughts about next week could it produce such an effect on this apparatus now. Without faith, it would have no effect because it's not happening. You and I are miracle workers. Jesus, there's that story about he brought Lazarus from the dead, but at least Lazarus was alive at one time. We're bringing stuff from what's not happening and producing huge effects now just by our faith in it. So when you're identified as self, that's the highest form of faith in the failed system. I mean, you can't give more meaning to anything than it's you. That's a damn big meaning to give something. So there I am having faith in the system, and it's concerned about what's going to happen, very rarely about you, but to me, later. And by just through thought about that, it can provoke huge feelings, and it produces an incredible, incredible movie. False evidence starts appearing real. Yeah? If I share it with someone else, they don't see it as real, but I see it as really real. So I go into, the mind gets into a very strong delusion, and now it's taking its cues from false evidence, and it's appearing real. So now it's living in what's not happening, and it's totally dark. There's no light whatsoever. And if you try to get out of it as self, you're just in another anteroom of it. Oh, it got a little lighter. It's like being in hell, and then you feel you had an upgrade when the degrees of the heat goes down one. Well, I'm in a nice level of hell right now. I think I'll stay here a while. It's unbelievable. What's the immunity to what's not happening? It's not happening. Simple. It doesn't take any time to get out of what's not happening. Not one bit. It's a timeless solution. If you recognize it, that it's not happening, you're out of it because you were never in it. It only appeared that you were in it. If you were in it, they'd have to, you know, some of us, if we were really in what's not happening, we'd have to have AA moving trucks all day going to people's houses. Okay, load up all that shit. We're taking you to the meeting. Yeah? No, it's not happening. That's the solution. Yeah? How are you going to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear that? Well, maybe if you're entertaining this now, this can be a sufficient enough anchor to give you immunity to what's not happening. Just to be conscious, which is no effort at all because you are conscious. It's just to notice what's already so. Maybe you can start with your breath. Notice that. What's noticing the breath? Is it you or is it awareness? I'd say it's awareness. And I don't believe you are aware. I would say there's no middleman or woman that's knowing or aware of the breath. There's just awareness of breath. There's not you aware of the breath. There's just take out the middleman and woman, and life becomes much clearer and simpler. Yeah? It's the you. What it really is this. I'm looking out at everyone now, and this is an experience I'm having. I'm seeing you. That's a simple way of saying it. I'm seeing you. 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 So in my, from this point of view, it's I am seeing you. And there's, let's say, 20 yous here. Now, if I shifted the emphasis to where Amy's sitting, it would be the same experience that's happening. Amy would be sitting in with the feeling, I'm seeing you. But in this case, the I that was seeing would be a you that's being seen. Yes? So the I seeing, and then when it's seen, it's a you. Yeah? How does that happen? How does, when I'm seeing, all I see is you, and when you're seeing, this way, all you see is you. But if you ask me, who am I? I would say it's me. And in this whole world of yous, there's only one me. That's when the shit really hits the fan. So, but in actual experience, I'm seeing you. And if I went by what's actually happening, there's only I or only spirit that's seeing an object called a you. Yeah? The only thing is, if I look, when I go, when some, if everyone voted, 8 billion people would come here and they voted, and I ask them, well, who are you seeing? They say, you. Yeah? And yet I stubbornly deny that information. I said, no, au contraire, it's me. As soon as a you becomes a me, that's the act of being identified with a long lasting, with a body. Yes? The eye is forgotten, which is actually what's seeing. Yeah? It's not you that's being seen or seeing, it's I. Yeah? So the I is what I sense is what we are. The spiritual, that's the psychic shift. That's the spiritual awakening. Yeah? Is that the I wakes up to itself. Yes? And therefore, as soon as the I happens, then the me is seen not to be me, and then I start letting life happen more freely like I would let it happen to you. Yeah? And now instead of seeing life is happening to me, I just see as life is happening. It's a much nicer way to travel. Yeah? It doesn't. I can't say it's going to make your life better or worse, but you'll travel lighter through whatever your life has in store for you. That's for sure. Yeah? And that's how you know the problem, by the solution. When you're relieved of that bondage of self, you know the self bondage was the problem. You will know it emphatically. There'll be no need to authenticate it from other outside sources. There will be an unspoken echo of a very strong, powerful yes. You'll enter the stage of being convinced. Yeah? Convinced. You will now know beyond doubt. And that convincing changes surrender to surrendered. That convincing is what produces you cease fighting everyone and anything. The problem doesn't exist for you because it doesn't exist as you anymore. Yeah? This is when it's like a radical shift, where it's this stuff starts happening with no thought or effort on your part. You have absolutely no role in it, one bit. Yes? Not one bit. And then you will start living with a very clear sense of the main principle, which is you have it by giving it away. You have it by giving it away. That's how you embrace it, by not embracing it. That's how you own it, is by giving it away. You don't claim it, no privacy. When you see the head claiming it, it's not you claiming it. All your little dirty fingers are left off it. And then it starts blossoming and it starts expanding. It becomes obvious to you. Something that was unnoticed all your days becomes freaking obvious. And it has a strong effect on us here. Yeah? It's seeking expression and it's seeking it through us. My maintenance of it is honoring it. That's it, really. I just honor it. And it's not me honoring it. I mean, when this is noticed, I mean, it's just almost a natural response to get on your proverbial knees in a way and honor it. And then you pay your little rent to Caesar, to things, yes? But your real donation or your real investment is in no-thingness. You sense the context of the day, not what happened during the day. Yeah, you lose interest in all the particulars, and you get very interested in the space of what's going on. You sense awareness. Yeah, it intimates itself to you, and it has a profound effect on how you appear to be here. Yeah, and then you can sit in the certainty of it, and for me, that's a very high level of service. Is if you're sitting in the certainty that I'm not that. Yeah. I am not that which is provoking all your fucking distorted interest. I am not that that is the treasure trove for all the anxiety that you're ridden with. I am not that, right, that is supported by all those bullshit stories. I am not that which has to be right. I am not that that has to be special. I am not that. It's not fighting it. It's not doing anything with it. It's just a form of negation. I'm not that. And then I don't try to find out what I am, because you can't. How you know what you are is by seeing what you're not. That's how you, that's the, one master says, you, when you know God, it's, to know God is to be God. That's what happens, yeah? To know truth is to be truth. To know freedom is to be freedom, yes? And you know it by the phantom absence of the self, yeah? You'll never know it as a self. You know it by its absence. And I'm just sharing with you, in my investigation, it's inherently absent. It only appears to be present. Yeah? It only appears to be present in time. It's inherently absent. That's the solution. No matter what your head says, oh, but I'm just in that. You know, in AA it says, you know, it asks you a very simple question. Why are you in fear today? And thank God he doesn't let us answer. It would have been a fucking 900-page book. You know? Stories. We'd have tons of stories of why we're in fear before we had the recovery stories. No one would have read to the end of the book. It's the fuck this. I don't want any of this shit. But it says, isn't it because self-reliance has failed us? Yeah. So in a sense, it's a failed system. Now, when you're identified as self, when the system fails, you'll usually blame you. Yeah? It will always go back to being self-centered. So you'll never see the failure of the system, because you'll be too busy blaming yourself for the failure in your life. But it's a failed system. It has really nothing to do with what you are. It has a lot to do with what you're relying on. If you're relying on something that's failed, your life's probably going to look the way it has. Yeah? And if you don't believe it's a failed system, look at, like, say, a furniture delivery store. If they had a perfect, impeccable record of delivering the couches on time, would they need any excuses? Would they need any rationalizations? Would they need to blame anything for the lateness of the delivery? They've always delivered it on time, yeah? There would be no need for excuses, rationale, or blame because their system works. It's not a failed system. You've got to see the debris of the failed system. It's like a smokescreen it throws up all day. It always puts off your urge or desire to be okay now and gives you a Stalinist plan of how you will be okay if you jump through 80 hoops or 90 hoops. And it always adds and changes the hoops as you go along. And even when it fails, you never sit in its failure. You sit in your failure. It's always brought back to you. It's a perfect fail-safe mechanism because the mechanism is identification as. If you weren't identified with that system, you would have got off that dead horse a long time ago. But you keep resuscitating it because you can't see the difference between it and you. Yeah? You can't see the difference. That's why we go through outrageous lengths of therapies and everything. Not to have anything right or wrong with therapy. We can't entertain that we could be free of it. Because we're identified as it. It's like the parasite's taken over the host. The host forgot it has its own qualities. It's taken on the parasite's qualities. And it can't for the life of it think itself out of the system it's in. Self can't get out of self. It's like a form of slavery. And the tightest handcuffs are when you want to be out of it. When you really want to be free of it, it really tightens up. You don't realize it's about letting go and relaxing and abandoning. It's not about focusing and concentration and more practice. It's about less of it, in a sense. You give up. You can't let go of that. Self is this contraction. It shows in the body. It shows everywhere. Self is contraction. That's what it does. When the mind gets into selfing, it contracts. It becomes this huge possibility fixated on an object, this body. And then what it does, the thought system places this body somewhere else at some other time and thinks about it. That's all it does. It takes it, puts it in a past event, a future event. It can go on and on and on. It can go to the family of origin on Mars and fantasize what it would be like if I had a past Martian life and what's going to happen to me on Mars in the future. You live here and there. Oh, but I'm worried. All this. It just fixates. And what does it do? It thinks about it. Yeah? It's like a snowstorm. It's like one of those little things where you shake it and it says the snow moving. That's the agitation of selfing. It constantly keeps this confusing blizzard going on so there can't be any clear seeing. You're just totally, and then you're trying to build a house on the agitation. Self, like it says in AA in the book, it says self-seeking and frightened. It doesn't separate the two. Any seeking from selfing is frightened. What is seeking and fear? Agitation, isn't it? What would probably be agitated? An unreliable system. So if you're attempting to build a life or an identity on something that's unreliable and it's constantly agitated, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be seeking like crazy to get relief from what you're identified as. Not knowing it, you'll be seeking to get relief for it instead of from it. And then when it gets to a point where it doesn't seem to work, you'll take pills. You'll just deaden the whole process. I'm just going to, you know, get comfortable here in self and self. I don't want to feel anything anymore. Yeah? There is a solution. There's freedom. It's available now. But not for you. That's the good news. If it was for you, it'd be fucked in a day. The freedom, you'd probably commoditize, try to sell it to people. Write a book and have, you know, fucking subscriptions to retreats all fucking month. No, it's available. It's like in Tao, they say, it's the piece of wood that has no value, which is the most valuable because it's never made into furniture. You can't make something out of nothing. You can't build a cottage industry on this message. This message is available at all times. The whole point of this is to become obsolete. I'm like a mailman. I don't want people to come home with the mailman. I'm just inviting you. It's like a spiritual subpoena. Here, you are that. I won't say you are that. You're not that. I don't like going, you are that, because there will all be concepts about what you think you are. I rather question what you're not. Check it out. If when you see I'm not that, I'm not that, that I'm not that, it all distills into a sense of presence, and then there's a recognition. I am that. I am that which I cannot see. Yeah. So, in AA, I haven't done this in a while. I want to do the pooper scooper. for old time's sake. I forgot the last few years now. All right, so in AA, they talk about, if you see the book, they talk about right before it ends and goes into the fourth step, it says a very important like statement. It says self, yeah? Being convinced that self, convinced means to believe with certainty, being convinced that self manifested in various ways. Yeah, there's a lot of forms that self takes, yes? Or selfing. There's no self, it's selfing. So self manifests in various ways is what has defeated us. It's meant to be convinced of, yeah? I mean, thoroughly sense that that's the case. That's like the true diagnosis of the illness, yeah? Self defeated us. Okay, now ask yourself a question. What would happen if we asked anyone and everyone in this room what self defeated them? We'd all have the same answer, wouldn't we? It would be myself. Everyone would have the same answer. My. And if you went out with someone, maybe it would be their self for a little while, maybe in a year or something, yourself. But most of the case, the consistent defeat is myself. Yeah? So you have to see, what is my? To me, my signifies the act of being identified. Yeah? That's my money. That's my job. That's my girl. It's a claiming mechanism. Yeah? So as soon as the claiming mechanism kicks in, it uses the feeling of being a separate individual entity to defeat you. This feeling isn't defeat you. It's the claiming of it as you that defeats you. Yeah? The claiming of it. The selfing claims this feeling of being a long-lasting, independent, separate entity. Yeah? And it uses it to imply that it's you. Yes? And in that claiming, it defeats you with that. That's the bridge where it can give your life all the meaning it has. Yes? That's why when we come to AA, we're not identifying with who we are here. We're identifying with what's taking you over. I do not identify with who you are. I identify with what took you over because I've lived under the same tyranny. Yes? And it's very clear that what took you over seemed to have taken me over. So how could it be me if it took both of us over? I would say it's like a foreign installment. If it's a foreign installment, it can be freed from. Yeah? The host can break away from the bondage and sense its own hostness, and then it would be able to tell the characteristics of the parasite, and all that would distill is, I'm not that, and it would lose interest in it. It would lose interest in the whole thought system about there and then. And what would happen is, without any effort on your part, you'd be anchored here a whole lot more. Yeah? And here is where you get the guidance for what's happening. You don't get the guidance from the past and the future. That's about what's not happening. You get guidance about here. Yeah? You get downloads now, which allows you to navigate during the day without so much premeditation. It just sort of drops in, and then you know what to do the next moment you need to do it. Yeah. It's so economical. You travel a lot lighter. The thought system, first of all, loses a lot of its oomph, and then a lot of thoughts just drop off. You don't have so many anymore. They're not popping up all the time. Because the system has been left. You're not relying on it. It's your juice of reliance that gets the whole engine of thinking revving up all day. Because it's got a lot to think about, which is you. And it has a lot of places to think about you, which is the past and the future. So it's busy all freaking day. If it's not you, it loses interest. Your interest stops feeding the machine. It slows. Yes? And when it slows, the orbit gets wider and you feel the space. You feel the space from the problem. And that's the fucking solution. Yeah? When you feel the space from the problem, you'll know the problem by the solution. Oh, let me get back. I was going to that inventory. Okay. So, all right. Being convinced of self manifested in various ways is what has defeated us. Can we at least be willing to entertain that as a fact? Yeah? Being convinced that self manifested in various ways is what has defeated us. Two different aspects, yes? Okay. All right, so if we can be at that point, then it says, okay, we will now look at its, right, common manifestations, meaning self. Yeah? And in the next paragraph, it says resentment. So I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but the way I see inventory is I'm actually doing an inventory on this thought system called self's expressions through this into my life. And one of them is resentment. Another one of its expressions is fear. Another one is hurting people in the pursuit of what I want. Yes? And there can be many, many more, but we're just looking at some of the grosser ones. What would happen if when you would share, you would recognize the activity of the problem while you're sharing, when you call the resentment yours, when you call fear your fear, when you call acting out your acting out? Wouldn't that actually express the act of being identified with something that you're not, that its expressions are being called yours as they move through? I would say so, eh? If those are self's expressions, and every time they appear, and usually you don't even see them when they're happening, we're so unconscious, let's say, but when we find out when someone says, hey, you owe me an amends or whatever, but that, then what's your first recognition? My fear, my resentment. We claim the expressions of self's as ours. How can that not be the activity of being bonded of self? If the expressions of a foreign system are moving through what you call you, and every time you become aware of them through someone else or you, you claim them to be yours, I would say that's the self-centered loop of bondage of self. The mind is actively bonding itself all day by when the expressions show up, it claims them. You know how easy it is to do a fearless and thorough inventory on someone else? We do it all day. You probably did one on me when I walked in. I can do one on you in 5 minutes. But then it takes months to go over our inventory. Oh, I'm having a hard time. Please illuminate me. It's just fucking mental confusion. It doesn't want to know. What's the point? It doesn't care if I, oh, Amy? Oh, yeah, she's this and like that. There you go. Like a 2 minute, I could do a speed inventory. How can you possibly believe you can do a fearless and thorough inventory on what you're identified as? It's fucking ridiculous. If you're going to do an inventory of what you're identified as, the identification as is a giant blinder. You're not going to, that's why you need a sponsor to illuminate a little bit. You need a sponsor and you need a higher power and hopefully ask that in, because with those two different lights, maybe you'll see a little bit of the patterns. But the basic proclivity of blindness is in place by the identification as. I'm saying let's question that, and maybe there'll be a whole lot more light in the process when you do the process. And what the process does is it illuminates, really. If we can increase the wattage, then there'd be an easier access of illumination and the possibility that the illumination would stabilize instead of the disease co-opting again. Yes? Constantly, even when you think you have the light, it becomes an experience that gets forgotten. And now you compare every moment and you cause suffering now on, oh, it was once light. Jeez. We're attempting to sort of break the bondage of self by seeing it as not us. Why not give it a shot? Entertain it. If it's worth its salt, it'll verify itself by the entertaining of it. You'll see the fruits of the tree, not by the tree, but by what happens. And then you're on to something. And then that honoring, have some immunity, because the habit is to constantly be bring it back to you again. There is no parking place. It's not a parking place with your name on it. Everything's going. There's no park. Oh, it's happened to me. No. Everything is just happening. There's no parking. That's the feeling of being free. Nothing clings to you. There's no lint building around you with these old ideas and these beliefs, because you've taken the center. You questioned the false center. Fuck about all the knowledge about the earth and the moons and the planets. It's the center that holds them in place. Take that out and see what happens. What I found is everything moved out, and what I sensed was the space. It's claustrophobic up here, isn't it? You're like a storage unit. Tons of shit going over things. Possible things that never will ever happen. So I don't know, man. I just love this tribe. I know what hell is like. I've been there. It's subjective. There's no place called hell. The mind gives everything all the meaning it has. if this mind gets introduced to a drug or an alcohol or drama or something else that triggers it, when that sleeping dog wakes up, you don't have the run of your house anymore. You're going to have to walk it, feed it. It's going to be barking at everyone, biting your ass. It's a big fucking mess. We have a way of life to keep the dog asleep, yes? Now while it's asleep, let's take the opportunity to entertain something. Yeah, maybe. Maybe if that entertaining stabilizes, you'll get a taste of real freedom. Freedom not based on circumstances and situations. Not based on how you feel or how you're thinking. Not based on your past predilections or your future aspirations. But now, a very impersonal freedom. I see people suffering unbelievably in this program. It's just unbelievable. And when I hear them share, one aspect my mind does, it follows it back to where it came. And I'll tell you, the whole it always goes back to is identification as a self. It always goes back there. That one impossibility spawns all these things, all these other impossibilities, and they appear to be really possible. And we live it out as if it's so. And there's no freedom from it. It doesn't matter how big a spiritual resume you have. One night, something can happen. You'll be smoking crack and you're fucked. I don't care. You're a super duper Zen master. It's gone out the window. Yeah? You have already been taken over by a higher power, a power that is said in our book, in our traditions, a loving God that expresses itself through our group conscious. It's always, it's also expressing itself in what you call your consciousness now. Yeah? That higher power can produce an immunity to all the other lower powers that are demanding your attention and interest, rooted in the system called self-centeredness, the angers and the jealousies and the wanting to be right and the sense of entitlements and all of this. They all are spawned and reinforced by the big wind of identification as self. We found a power greater than that. Yeah? All that's needed is to honor it. Simple honoring it. See where your faith lies. Does it lie in a dead thought system that only produces anxiety from your faith? Or does it lie in the possibility of freedom now that produces an ease and comfort in your situation at this moment? Which one? Check it out. Wherever your faith goes, that's what gets enlivened. Yeah? Every one of us in this room has tons of faith. It's what vehicle it's put in. Most of our faith unknowingly or educationally was put into a system that's failed us. Yeah? It's failed us. It's not working. It's a dead horse. Let's get up off of the horse. Yes? Entertain, we're not that. And then let that transfer of interest and attention go into a worthy depository, something infinite that's reliable. And you know what? You'll show the effects. It's just like a rose bush. It's not blooming because it's in lousy soil, getting no water, no light, and a very small pot. Yeah? And of course, the rose bush in self-centeredness is blaming itself for not blooming. I'm the one. I'm very unique. I'm the only rose bush that's not blooming. You take that rose bush and put it in a big pot and some good soil and some light and some rain, it's going to bloom. Yeah? We've been already shown the way. We have a way of life that will keep us in that pot. All we're doing is look up. There's a lot more sunlight coming. Yeah? Look up. Yeah. It will infuse you. It will infuse you with gratitude. Not an experience of it. You'll be infused with it. You'll have gratitude in your attitude. Yeah? You know what? How low level an experience is compared to a state? When you're in a state of gratitude, it's unbelievably different than an experience of gratitude. A state of gratitude will go unnoticed by the conditional mind. That's why it's so valuable. An experience of gratitude will be used to make up a story sometimes. But when it's a state, you can't really put your finger on it, the mind can't claim it. It goes unnoticed by the conditional mind. There's no metals, there's nothing shiny. It's just ordinary dog shit awareness. There's nothing, no one's recognizing. Oh, you're so bright and present. Oh, yes, I came from the retreat. I'm really, no, none of that. You look like a normal Joe, maybe, yes? But therefore the mind, when it's little, it's like little Eye of Mordor, Sauron, you know, going over looking for its precious, it doesn't see the ring. It can't pick it up because to it, it's invaluable. It doesn't make you special. It doesn't make you unique. It doesn't make you anything. It's nothing. And it doesn't pick it up. That's why it's valuable. The mind doesn't recognize it. If we started coming in here and we had like stripes, you know, and I had like a colonel thing, then it would be, oh, yes, Paul's the colonel and we're corporals, and then there'd be recognition, and then the hierarchy and position and getting closer to the colonel and all like this would happen. But it's nothing like that. There's nothing to get, nothing to claim. It totally has no value to the conditional mind. That's why it's incredibly valuable. Yeah, because he erodes it from the inside out. It can take any antidote and make it into poison. Any practice you enter into here, it will gobble it up and turn it into a fucking poison. You'll claim to be the one who's practicing it. But from the inside out, it erodes that. Erodes that, and then you don't even know it that the narrator has dropped. You're not narrating your day anymore. There's no voiceover. There's just living the day. You're going here, you're going there. There's no, oh, I'm going here. You know, oh, I'm going to the bathroom. Well, who has to proclaim I am going to the bathroom? Why do I have to have someone proclaim I'm going to the bathroom? I'm going to the thrift store. No, I'm at the thrift store. You know, it's all this narration goes. And you don't even notice it because the emphasis is only when it's there. You get so interested in it. And you really wish it would go. But when it goes, you don't even notice it, the conditional head. And then it just bitches about something else. But I tell you, the narrator goes, ah, space, and then you walk in a room and you experience walking in the room. Yeah? You start experiencing conscious contact, not a story about it, reflecting the past and then projecting that little fucking distorted vision into a future. No, man, there's freedom, please. This isn't an event. This is an invitation. This is meant to be carried out of here. And maybe, just maybe, let it do its work. You know? I have total faith in mind. I just believe you need to receive it. If you were like me, I had to hear it from outside of me. I couldn't get it on my own. Couldn't come up with it. Just couldn't come up with it. No matter how much I was seeking it, I could not find it. No freaking way. It's when I got turned on to it by this type of invitation, it was found by not looking for it, in a sense, yeah? It hit me, and all the looking stopped, and it was found. And it was found, and it had never not been found, yeah? And it really changed this whole life as an action figure alcoholic, 20-something years. So I think it's an incredible panacea for the ills that people suffer from, if they could just get to the root of it and maybe be clear about that. So that maybe at first they can just entertain maybe a little bit that the thoughts aren't theirs, you know, that they're not the producer of the thought. That would give you some space. If they could entertain when they recognize the feelings that they're having have been provoked by thinking about what's not happening, maybe then the feelings would change. Yeah, because they're being provoked by thinking about something. You're not having that experience. It's made up, yeah? I mean, there isn't something at that moment to produce fear in you. Why is there so much fear then? Because your mind is obsessed with something that's not happening. Maybe if you could just see it that clearly, the fear would diminish because you would see it's not happening. Who knows? And you'd get a taste for it. You would get a taste for the freedom. Yeah, and then there would be you'd have a recognition of it. You could actually recognize it somewhat. And when you'd recognize it, it's like seeing an old friend. It'd be like an aha, aha. And then you'd see its little coincidental little play, choreography it's doing in life. And there would be like an unspoken little yes in you. And then it would be intimating itself through all these little nefarious little things, little coincidences and seeing people that you've seen, you know. And it would be like a big aha would come over you. And that aha doesn't have to end. It can just keep echoing, yeah? And you have it by giving it away. That's how you have it. And I really want to have it. I really want to have it. So that's why I'm sitting here giving it away. I'm serious. Because that's the only way you have it. You don't have it by getting it. It's not like dealing coke, you know? I never saw a coke dealer that practiced that principle. I have it by giving it away. I wish they would have. But this case, you have it by giving it away. And if this is introduced with you, and it doesn't initiate an honoring, I don't know, you know, I would imagine it. It's like a kid. It's like a wonderment or an awe a kid has. You know, when you're a kid, certain things would happen, and it would be such a, it's sort of like that. You get sort of like child, not childish, but childlike, yeah? You have a sense of wonder and awe about what's actually, not why, but what's happening here, you know? Conscious contact, awareness. Yeah. It's mind-boggling to me. So, any questions tonight? Oh, we'll pass the basket, yes.
Hey, thank you for the batteries.